The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path.'" John wore clothing made of camel hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children for Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the shaft he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
In today's Gospel, Matthew brings our attention to the figure of John the Baptist. It's really impossible to grasp the significance of Jesus without passing through the cleansing bath of John. He provides a lens through which Jesus is properly interpreted. Matthew tells us John made his appearance as a preacher in the Judean desert. What is it about deserts in the Bible? Moses spends years in the desert before taking up his work. Elijah sojourns in a deserted place at a crisis point in his ministry. Of course, the Israelites have to pass through the desert 40 years on the way to the promised land. Jesus himself spends 40 days and nights in the desert before beginning his public ministry. Near the beginning of the Christian movement, monks sequestered themselves in caves and primitive shelters in the desert, especially in Egypt. So what is it about deserts? Well, they're places of simplicity and poverty, where everything is stripped down to the basics. Places where distractions and attachments are eliminated in order to hear the voice of God. In our modern day lives, we are distracted by so many different things. And sometimes we dive into the world of distractions on purpose in order to get away from the really fundamental questions. Speaking for myself, I spent a lot of my life, especially in my 20s, lying to myself about myself and using the distractions of the world to cover over it. That's why we all need a desert of some sort. And then there are the attachments, the greatest of which are power, pleasure, honor, and wealth, according to St. Thomas Aquinas. These four things, or some combination thereof, are constantly trying to tempt us. But in order to hear God speaking to us, we have to get rid of distractions and attachments long enough to at least hear what God wants of us. Advent for us is supposed to be a kind of a desert time. We are preparing ourselves for the coming of Christ. We're meant to strip ourselves down in order to encounter Christ in a deeper way. But of course, our culture isn't going to help us in this project. It wants us to be in a frenzy right up until Christmas. The first thing that John tells us in the desert is, reform your lives. This word is so important because if we're honest with ourselves, we all know that our lives are not what they're supposed to be. The quality of love that ought to be present in every one of us. I mean, a complete, absolute, self-forgetting love is not present. As Paul said, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen into patterns of self-absorption, addiction, attachment. And so out of the desert comes this voice. Out of that place of clarification, simplification, comes this voice. Reform your lives. The word that John uses here in the Greek is the same one used by Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. It is metanoiate. It means literally to go beyond the mind that you have now. So, in other words, change your attitude, change your way of thinking, change your way of perceiving the world. One way to live this is to stop thinking about my life as my project. Start thinking, my life is not about me. Start thinking, my life belongs to God and serves God's purposes. See, all of our diversions and attachments are symptoms that my life is about me, that my life is a project of self-satisfaction. And we say, oh, things aren't going my way. Things aren't following the career path that I had mapped out. And believe me, I know all about that one. People aren't respecting me the way that I think they should. Well, one thing to say to this is, who cares? All that is trivial. Change your attitude. Your life is about God. That's the voice that comes out of the desert, the place of clarification. And when it does, it causes in us an examination of conscience. And then, as the people of John's time did, we confess our sins. We put to speech the deficiencies found while in the desert and confess them to God. That's why many Catholic parishes, including ours, will have a penance service during Advent. They are a time to confess our faults, to make way for the coming of God into our lives in new ways. John says, I am baptizing you with water, but the one coming after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. In John's thinking, being immersed in water was a preparation ritual for encountering God. He took the Jewish ritual of bathing in a special way, which is called the mikvah in Hebrew, and modified it to prepare people for a powerful encounter with God. And now, of course, we call this baptism. But here, John is saying, the one who is coming is so much more than another prophet who speaks the word of God. The one who is coming is the word of God. He is much more than a teacher who bears witness to the life of God, because he is the life of God. And that's why he can dip you. That's what the word, from Greek, baptismo, that's what it means in Greek, dipping. So we could call him John the Dipper if you want. To dip into. This one can dip you into the very life of God. He can baptize you in the Holy Spirit. What he's coming to do is fill you up, body and soul, with the divine life. He can set you on fire with a whole new manner of existence. But something needs to happen in us to make room for this encounter. Jesus says the axe lies at the root of the trees. In other words, the Christ who is coming will indeed cut and divide and judge. Not because he's cruel, but when the divine life comes in, whatever is opposed to it must go out. There's an expulsive quality to Christ's arrival. That's why all patterns of hatred and self-absorption, pettiness, egotism, have to be cut out in order to make room for a new existence. And then we hear his winnowing fan is in his hand. This image is drawn from the agricultural life of that time. The farmer would put the harvest of wheat on the threshing floor. And then he would take a kind of rake called a winnowing fan, and he would cast it up into the air, and the wind would blow through it. And the chaff would blow away because it's lighter than the grain, while the more substantial wheat would fall to the threshing floor. So it goes when the wind of the Holy Spirit blows through you and me. He blows away the chaff to be burned in the fire. But that's good news, that he will burn away all this pettiness, all this insubstantial stuff that seems to preoccupy us. The Holy Spirit will blow that away and allow what is truly substantial in us to endure. That's what's going to happen when Christ baptizes in fire and the Holy Spirit. And by the way, it's also not a bad description of what purgatory is all about. I hope we allow the words of John the Baptist to draw us to Christ this Advent season. He's given us today much to think about.